far.
Yeah.
It'll ever go live. Hello, friends. Welcome inside, at least for me, Ben Garrett, the Riverland Roofing Studios, New Albany branch, Riverland Roofing. For all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. They power everything we do here at Talking Champions and a lot of what we do at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. If you want free, sign up today. The low, low price of $1. You can try us out for 5 days, $1 at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. That's typically the QR code on your screen. But for this week, because it's the last week for you to sign up for the Rebel Rivalry, that's what that QR code is above Ole Miss legend C.J. Johnson's head. Scan that today. You can play for free. It's got an incredible prize pack. A lot of you probably saw Talk of Champions. We had Kyle Christensen, CEO of Thropic, here on Talk of Champions to talk about this game. It's a cool way to give and contribute to Ole Miss NIL athletics, with whether you got a dollar, whether you got $100, $1,000, no money at all. You can play for free. Just scan that QR code. It's the Rebel Rivalry, and this is the last week to play with Trinidad Chambliss and Kewan Lacy. He's C.J. Johnson, all-time Ole Miss great, one of my favorite people in the world. What's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, brother? How you doing? I don't know about the Ole Miss great part, but I'll take it.
Take the dang compliment. How dare you, sir? Okay, yeah. This is a former five-star recruit that was headed to Mississippi State. He signs with Ole Miss, has a great career. The really hard part for me right now is I remember all of those things very, very well, CJ, and yet it's been a decade since the 2016 Sugar Bowl. We're old as crap now, man. I mean,
yeah, man. I feel old. I got a lot of gray hair up here too, and all that. But yeah, it doesn't feel like it's been as long as it has. But yeah, it's been 10 years, man.
What do you remember the most about that game in particular? Well, actually, you know, like now that it's like a decade away from like the playing days and things like that, it was a wild, wild, full circle Ole Miss moment for me when I'm walking into the media hotel there in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl this year against Georgia, and I hear yelling down from the stairs, "Ben! Ben!" And I'm like, and there he was. It was CJ, man. Like, what was it like for you to be back in New Orleans? I mean, it's been a decade. Like, I was watching the game a little bit today. Actually, when I knew you were coming on, I didn't know we were going to touch on this first, but like, dude, this was an absolute throttling of one Oklahoma State. What is this what you talk about the most? What do you still when people approach you and talk to you and say, "Sage, it's been a minute." What do you most remember about the Ole Miss days?
I think the biggest thing that I remember is just, you know, when a lot of us signed to go to Ole Miss, they weren't very good. And you know, to be able to leave you know, and win a Sugar Bowl, I think that those will always be some of the moments. You know, I always think about like the 2012 team. We weren't very good, but we were able to get to a bowl game. 2013, we had a lot of injuries that year, but we still were able to win a bunch of games. And then 2014 was able to kind of put it all together. And then 2015, man, we tried to run it back and, you know, had a few hiccups along the way, but it was still a really good year. And looking back now to where Ole Miss was at the time, man, winning 10 ball games felt like something that wouldn't be done there for a while. And then obviously you look at, you know, what they're doing now and all the success that they've had. So it was always fun to reflect on all the memories, but man, we had a great time.
How can you see that replay there? CJ right there, getting to the quarterback real quick, leader of that defense, and not try to call yourself an all-time great, man. You don't get to wear number 10 at Ole Miss and not be an all-time great. But like your story to Ole Miss and getting here is absolutely wild. Well, we've talked about it before on the podcast, but it's been a while since you've been on. And I'm watching these replays and all of these recruiting stories are coming running back to me. I'm like, I'm looking at, well, there's Marquise Haynes wearing 27, which is just great. I see Laramie Tunsil. I see Laquan. I see all these cats. But for you, like, it was a wild one for Ole Miss to go into Chicago and get Laquan. But people don't quite realize, man, you were destined to be a Mississippi State Bulldog, right?
Yeah, so I had originally committed there when I was in the, you know, 10th grade. Didn't grow up, you know, far from Starkville. Had a lot of friends that were, you know, state friends, still good friends of mine to this day. But yeah, just had, if you would have told the 10th grade me that I would be playing at Ole Miss, I'm not so sure that I would have even believed it, to be honest with you. But, you know, Coach Nix, Derek Nix and Tyrone both, I'll never forget, they came to see me my junior year, and I was committed, and Derek just looked at me and said, well, you ain't signed a scholarship yet, so that don't mean I'm going to stop recruiting you. And I'm thankful that, you know, both of them did that for me, and glad that I ended up in Oxford.
All right, so for the people that might not be aware, there are going to be a lot of new fans as you're joining Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. The Ole Miss Spirit is the website that I write for, omspirit.com. And fit of all three, sign up today for the low, low price of $1 for 5 days to try us out. This is CJ Johnson, one of my favorite people I've ever gotten to know doing this here job for almost 20 years. But more than that, an all-time Ole Miss great, regardless of the humble nature he tries to appear with himself with. And, like, there are a lot of people that don't know when you committed to Ole Miss, and it's one of my favorite stories. Take me through that process, because you were in Dan Mullen's house when you flipped, right?
Yeah, so we were all on the official visit. I mean, that year, I think me, Dante, I don't think Dante was on the visit. He was sold on Ole Miss completely the whole way. But me, Aaron Morris, Nick Brazel, Tobias Singleton, we were all on the visit there together. And, you know, I've been telling them, you know, throughout, you know, the start of the visit, like, hey, man, like, I'm really thinking about, you know, going to Ole Miss, and that's probably where I'm going to end up. And we're in Mullen's house that night, and we're all in there eating, and we're going upstairs. He had an elevator in his house. Some of the parents and coaches took the elevator. Some of the players were walking up the stairs, and as we were going up, I told Aaron Morris and Nick Brazel and Tobias that I was going to Ole Miss. And they didn't believe me. So I just pulled out my phone and I called Coach Nutt and I told him I was coming. And from that day on, I was pretty much had locked myself into going to Ole Miss, and there was no way I was going to back out of it at that point.
A lot of you already popping off in the chat at Ole Miss Fan 198824. Good morning, Ben. Good morning to you. I think we're going to start doing more lunch shows. Like, I love the idea of lunch and getting whoever I can get to come on. CJ is the perfect launch for this. We're going to do, instead of a Tuesday at 6, Thursday at 6, to kind of lead y'all into the weekend. So for the new schedule for Talk of Champions and all that, keep that in mind. Tomorrow we'll be back here live at noon, and we've got Ari Wasserman set to come on, because I know a lot of y'all got some things that y'all want to say to old Ari after those rankings of his top players in college football, leaving off Trinidad and Kiwan. But
yeah,
this is CJ.
That.
What'd you think of that, Siege?
Look, man, I mean, you know, it's funny to me that I even go back to last year. I remember joking with some of my teammates and even coaches, you know, that I know, that I was surprised that that Lacey and Chambliss wasn't getting some of the, you know, the hype that they deserve. I feel like both of them were having good years. Like, and I'll even take it a step further. Like, anytime you lead the SEC, like, in touchdowns scored, that's a big accomplishment in itself. And then obviously, you know, what Trinidad was able to do for the rest of the year, you know, it's kind of, I just think it's funny that, you know, people aren't considering him as one of the best players in college football.
I'm not trying to knock Ari here, but I'm looking. All right, Jeremiah Smith at 1, okay. Leonard Moore at 2, okay. Malachi Toney at 3, okay. But, like, and Colin Simmons, love Colin Simmons. Dylan Stewart, Baller, Carter Smith, Arch Manning, Dante Moore. Yeah. Are we talking about NBA prospects? Or are we talking about the best top 10 returning players in college football in 2026? And if that's the case, I certainly don't know how you put Dante Moore and Arch Manning above Trinidad. And then Ahmad Hardy above Kiwan. And what has Cam Coleman done at number 10? Like, I love the idea of him and Arch, but I haven't seen it yet. I want some proof of concept.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, the quarterback play at Auburn was so bad. I don't even think anybody knows how good that kid can be, just because they weren't able to get him the ball. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do. But, you know, like, if these 10 guys are better than Trinidad and Lacey, then they'll have some really, really, really good seasons for their respective teams. So,
like, again, like, I'm cool with Jeremiah Smith. Like, I'm fine with that. It's just, and Malachi Toney, even, like, I saw what Malachi Toney did to Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, that kid's really good.
Yeah,
yeah, he's different. I don't know. I think the two edge guys that are on there, they have a lot of upside. I don't really know if you can say that the production has been there for both of them. I think Dylan Stewart, probably, if I had to guess, I'd probably put him in front of Colin Simmons just based off what have you done for me lately. But, you know, It is what it is.
That's kind of hot take. All right, first of all, before we keep going here, tell the people where you are and what you're doing now.
So I'm the defensive coordinator here at Holmes Community College. I'll be going into my fourth year here doing that. I've been coaching since I got done playing, primarily spent some time in junior college. Did a year in Division I football with Coach Kiffin down at FAU. And then I did some 2 years of high school ball, 1 year down in South Florida, and then 1 year here in Mississippi. So, yeah, man, I've been coaching ball, you know, trying to raise my son. I got married last year, which was awesome. I've been with my wife for 20 years, so my mom was kind of like, you know, what are you waiting on?
We've been together since so long.
yeah, we've been together since the seventh grade, that's been fun. Being married has been fun. Continue to coach and just, you know, try to help elevate these guys and get them to be the best, you know, football players and best people that I possibly can.
Well, you brought it up. You coached under Kiff at FAU. Javon, yep. Campbell 6249 in the chat. What are your thoughts then, CJ Johnson, on the Lane Kiffin Vanity Fair article from last week where he set college football on fire?
You know, my thing is, and you know me, I'm never going to be one to, you know, publicly, I would say, to embarrass anybody. Me and you have had, you know, some of those conversations about, you know, my thought process on, you know, who Kiff is as a person. And obviously preface that by saying I spent a lot of time around his brother, who coached me at Ole Miss, and has been a mentor of mine since my time in the coaching. And I would say they're both polar opposite people, even though they were raised by the same people. Chris and Lane are two completely different people. I would like to think the majority of his frustration with Ole Miss has to do with him not being able to coach, you know, in the offseason. And I think that bothers him, you know. And if you don't know Kiff, he's not the most socially aware person, right, of all people. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for him to, I guess, justify what other people would consider to be normal. For him, it's just not that. And, you know, I hate the fact that it's played out like this, because he's a really good football coach. And he did a lot of really good things for the university. And it's just, you know, it's an unfortunate situation, but I think, at some point, you know, both sides have to eventually move on from it, whether it's from his side or whether it's from the Ole Miss side. And, you know, at the end of the day, good things happen. And as they say, all good things sometimes must come to an end. And so it's time to look forward to, you know, what's coming here with Pete and, you know, what those guys are trying to build in Oxford.
You made a really good, or you told me, I don't know if you want to share this all that much or go really in depth with it publicly, but like your experience and specifically like with your granddad, what he thought of Ole Miss and then what his experience became. What if anything, are you willing to share about that just in terms of like what it was like for you? You know what I mean? Because again, you're a guy that was raised as a Mississippi State Bulldog to hate Ole Miss on top of the problematic history that not only Ole Miss deals with, but the Louisiana Tigers and LSU deal with, named after one of the roughest Confederacy infantries in the history of the Civil War were the Louisiana Tigers, and that's the LSU Tigers. So I'm just curious, like, what, in terms of your experience, when people ask you those questions, because you probably get that, if it's true, if we're to take Lane at face value, Siege, and you're on those recruiting roads every single day, too, as the defensive coordinator at Holmes, is that your experience? Was that your experience?
Well, first of all, let me preface by saying I grew up in Philadelphia, right? Mississippi, which is not what some people would consider, even back when I was growing up, you know, in the early 2000s of Philadelphia is one of the, you know, nicer places to live in Mississippi. And I've been around racism, grew up around some of it in Philadelphia. And one of the things that I thought was interesting, and I think I saw somebody post a clip of Cinquez say that at his M Club speech, but I was always told about like how bad Oxford was and how horrible of a place it was. And I remember going on a visit my first time, and I'm like, this is probably one of the coolest places I've ever been. And I think that shaped my perception and my willingness to want to learn more about Ole Miss. And, you know, once I went back a second time and then went back a third time, I really felt like, you know, it was somewhere that I wanted to be. And like Sinquia said, like, if you don't want to go to Ole Miss, the worst thing that you can do is take a visit. I mean, that is probably the most accurate statement that I've ever heard about, you know, obviously recruiting and players that play there. And then even when you graduate, you know, people always talk about, you know, make jokes about, you know, one never truly graduates from Ole Miss, right? The university just regretfully terminates your tenure. So I think all of that, you know, plays a part in that. But to kind of go into the story about my granddad. So my granddad, you know, had a rough life. And, you know, when I graduated high school, he kind of was going through a rough patch, and he spent some time with me in Oxford. And I just remember some of the days of him talking about, like, he never would have imagined growing up that he would have a grandchild that would go to Ole Miss. And then for him to go to games and for him to sit in the stands and even want to go back. And me and him were talking about that the other day when the article came out. And he was just like, man, you know, that it's came a long way in such a short time. He was one of the ones that kind of echoed that sentiment about, you know, he never would have dreamed of it, but then he enjoyed his time there, along with me. And, you know, it was a great experience. And me personally, I never experienced, any racism, and obviously athletics may have played a part in that, being in the crowd that I hung out in. But I also want to piggyback off of that and say my best friend that I grew up with in Philadelphia, we were roommates throughout college, and he's still there in Oxford right now. He is the DB's coach at Oxford High School, and he's been there for about the past 7 years. So, and I even look back at, you know, my hometown. I mean, I was one of the, in my class, I think we graduated, we had like five people that went to Ole Miss. And like three of them were African-American. And then after I graduated there, I mean, there's at least five or six African-American kids that choose to come to Ole Miss every year since 2011. And my cousin, my first cousin, who's actually like a niece to me, she's actually at Ole Miss right now. It's a great place. And I think Mississippi in general, we get a bad rap for the past racism and all that. But I would tell people, if you've never been to Mississippi, to come and see it for yourself. Yeah, I see somebody said shout out to Coach Moore right there in the comments. One of the best people you'll ever meet. And so I just, you know, I hate that that's been the topic of the conversation, simply because, you know, I know how much Ole Miss has given to people that look like me, and how much they'll continue to give people that look like me in the future.
Ole Miss fans, a quick timeout, because I've actually been using Underdog during these NBA playoffs, and I'm not kidding. It's kind of become part of my nightly routine. I'm already sitting there watching games, flipping around, keeping up with everything, so now I'll jump on Underdog and make a couple of picks. It's easy. You're just picking higher or lower on player stats, points, rebounds, assists, whatever you feel good about. Like this week, I'm riding a couple of playoff scores I trust for higher on points, maybe grabbing a big for rebounds. Nothing crazy, just going with what I'm already seeing, and that's what I like about it. Underdog doesn't feel forced. It just fits into what I'm already doing. So download the Underdog app today. Use my promo code CHAMPIONS for Talk of Champions to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Underdog. Make picks. Win money.
Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-MY-RESET or 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783 or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Ole Miss fans, look, I know we're all locked in on the Rebels. Spring football just ended, the portal, recruiting, all of that. But when the NBA playoffs hit, I've got a game on somewhere. And the best way to get in on all the action is by playing on Underdog Fantasy. In my experience, it works because it doesn't take a ton of time. You just pick higher or lower on stats, and you're in. I usually keep it simple. Star guys. LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic, whoever's on. No overthinking it, no spreadsheets, just something to make the games a little more interesting. while I'm half watching, half working. I'll throw together a couple of picks while I'm also refreshing recruiting updates, just like the rest of y'all. So join me. Download the Underdog app today and use my promo code CHAMPIONS for Talk of Champions. CHAMPIONS to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code CHAMPIONS. Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska. 19 plus in Colorado for some games. 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. And present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-MY-RESET or 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783 or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Well, you saw Archie Manning, the all-time Ole Miss great, on your screen there for those watching on YouTube. His number is retired at Ole Miss. Number 18, obviously, is the speed limit on campus. And I thought it was telling that Archie, who is notoriously quiet when it comes to all these personal matters, all these big public matters, whether it be Ole Miss or his kids, because it was interesting last week or maybe earlier this week, there's a story on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and Philly Von 3 about it, how Eli said that really him forcing his way to New York from San Diego – then San Diego, now LA, the Chargers, back in 2004, that 2004 draft, he spearheaded that. And Archie just took the daggers because that's who Archie is. So to see him publicly come out and support Ole Miss, but then to have some of his greatest allies in the media like Tim Brando or Chris Lowe said, I've never heard any Archie say a negative thing about anybody except Lane Kiffin. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. It's harder and harder to do that. You coached under him. What was it like? And you mentioned it, kind of talking about it, and we'll close the book on it with this. But, like, I think you touched on something that needs to be understood. Who Lane is on Twitter and very publicly is not the same person that you're going to run into on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, no, he he's very aware of things that occur, right? It's almost like you're – you have somebody who is in a powerful position and their job from the outside looking in, you would think they have to be social. They have to be, you know, present, always involved. Like, he has a hands-on approach in how he coaches the players and how he deals with players. But it's just like anybody else in coaching. You know, we all have different relationships with different players. And with him, it's more so of, he does a good job of having relationships with the players, but, like, if I'm just being brutally honest, like, he's not the most socially want to be around type person. Like, he's just socially awkward, you know, and the way he thinks, the way the world thinks, the way society thinks, like, he's always trying to be outside of the box and come up with a different way, a different approach. Not to say that that's the wrong way of thinking, but that's his thought process and kind of how he operates. And, you know, I think I remember telling you the story about the Buffalo game when he called me stupid when I was walking off the field talking about one of the scenarios in the game. But just, you know, I think, with him, he's very socially awkward, and sometimes for him, it's hard for him to really convey how he wants to really feel or say about something, and it makes it awkward for everyone else around, and you're kind of like moving around trying to, you know, pick up all the pieces and like, is that what he meant? Is that what I need to do? So I think it's one of those deals to where, you know, he's a different person, and, you know, he's an acquired taste.
Well, one of the few – I've got a few more things I want to touch on before I let you go. First of all, the whole culture of NIL and how it's changed things for JUCO specifically in recruiting, just that's everything. How tough has it been? What is it like for you out there on the road?
Well, I mean, from an NIL standpoint, hasn't really been a big issue for us. I think, you know, some of the junior colleges are now trying to you know, incorporate some of that into how they recruit players. But for us, I think the biggest thing is it's been kind of business as usual as far as, you know, recruiting the caliber of players that we've always been able to recruit. That really hasn't changed much. I think what you're going to start to see now is you're going to start to see recruiting kind of come back to junior college with it only being one transfer portal window. You know, we were thankful to get majority of our guys graduated in December, but we still have maybe two or three guys that were still available. You know, Ole Miss called about a couple, LSU called about a couple, Mississippi State's called about a couple. And so the issue that they're running into now is, you know, you evaluate a guy coming out of the spring and you say, well, he's a depth guy, right? Well, last year and years past, you've been able to say, all right, well, how do we go and try to replace the depth guy on our depth chart so that he has the same caliber of talent as a starter? You're not going to see that this year from a lot of different schools. And so if your starting corner, you know, tears his knee up during spring ball, like, he's going to be done for the year. Like, you're not going to be able to replace him with someone who's just as good. I don't think, you know, like with Trinidad coming in the summer last year, you know, guys won't be able to do that now. Because if they do, NCAA is trying to give 6-game suspensions to players and coaches. Because, I mean, and we were talking about this from a junior college standpoint, and I even brought this up when it happened. What's stopping me, other than until now, the NCAA has finally stopped it, but nothing stopped a kid prior to last year saying, okay, I'm Ole Miss's fifth receiver. I'm not going to play. I'm just going to unenroll at Ole Miss, and I'm going to go to Mississippi State, right? No tampering, completely on the player's own. Well, kids have the ability to do that. So I think with the NCAA trying to suspend coaches and players for transferring outside of the one portal window, I think helps. And I think it's going to help us in junior college be able to get players that would normally be comfortable with making $200,000 as a backup at Ole Miss for 2 years rather than actually coming to college and actually having an opportunity to play. Because at the end of the day, you know, if you want to get to the NFL or if you want to play big-time football, you got to play and you got to get developed.
I'm curious, too, because you and I've talked about this, and I know you can't speak specifically about individual guys y'all might be targeting or anything like that, but in terms of the junior college recruiting talent around Mississippi, I'm hearing New Albany. You know what I mean? Like, I know that y'all looked at some New Albany cats. You know what I mean? Like,
that's right.
What is the talent like, especially around my hometown of New Albany, Pontotoc, all this area, because that is the fertile recruiting ground. I think he's kind of gets slept on in terms of, you know, because Mississippi Junior Colleges, it doesn't need to be lost, is far and away, if not runaway, the best junior college system in America for football. Sure. So for as far as the recruiting of the local talent, what do you make of it and what do you think about it?
It's good. You know, I think that we have a lot of kids here in Mississippi that get, you know, under-recruited, especially from a high school standpoint. And it just gives them another opportunity to be re-recruited and actually get, you know, some of the things that, you know, they would have gotten out of high school 10 years ago. You know, I look at, you know, a guy like Cameron Robinson, who we had here last year from Winona, and didn't have any offers coming out of high school. And now he's fighting for a star spot at Alabama. You know, like those are the guys that that we have here in our league. And those are the guys that we kind of recruit. Not to say that we don't recruit, you know, Division I players. Like, it's funny, we were talking the other day, and I told some of our coaches, I said, I sure do know how to pick them, because I've offered probably like 8 defensive guys this spring that all have Division I offers now. Like, there's Oliver, you know, Schoolist, which obviously people in Mississippi, I think, will get to know him as the year rolls around. But he had about 5 junior college offers mid-February, and now he has about 14 Division I offers. And I think he's going to be a really, really good player. He was one that I talked to Dante about on the phone. I'm like, hey, I don't know if y'all got this cat on the board, but y'all probably need to be looking this guy up. But just, you know, I was up there in New Albany the other day. They got some really good players in New Albany, Pontotoc, in that area. I actually have a guy on my team from New Albany, Jaden Hicks. Who we're really excited about. We got another one from Ripley. So I'm trying to work my way, you know, into North Mississippi and around Oxford to be able to recruit some guys. And we got a guy on our team from Oxford, hoping to add another one here from Oxford. We'll see kind of how that unfolds. But, you know, it that part of the state's been really good to me and to us in recruiting. And Hopefully, we can continue that as we move forward.
I wanted you to say New Albany's got like a sneaky, crazy amount of talent is producing. I'm just saying,
they do.
You know, like
they do. Well, they got about three guys over there right now that we really like. So, I think you know which one I'm talking about. He looks the part. He changes football games. That's for sure.
New Albany, stand up, my hometown. You know, like see.
Shout out to New Albany, boy.
I'm saying, just give them a shout out. One of the very last thing, and I'll let you go because I know you got stuff to do. Do you still talk? Like, when's the last time you talked to? You mentioned Cinquez, but Tobias and Nick. I mean, dude, the idea. Like when you start talking about Nick Brazel and Tobias, I remember covering that recruiting. I remember covering the visits. I mean, y'all were like the big four, man. How are they doing? Yeah. If you know or anything like that,
dude. I still think that weekend. Well, let me back up. Pause. That may be the second greatest recruiting weekend in the history of Oxford, along with the 2013 group. That that weekend was absolutely phenomenal. Tobias is the offensive coordinator at Velma Jackson, which is in Madison, so he's right down the road. I see him quite a bit. We still hang out quite a bit. And then we got Chance, the head coach, which is also in Ridgeland, Madison County area. So, I get to talk to those guys quite a bit. Nick, I haven't talked to. It's been some years, but my man's still playing football, which should tell you, you know, just how freakishly athletic and how, you know, talented he was. I think he's like LeBron, dude. He could play till he's 40.
I'm not going to lie. I was thinking, like, Nick's one of those guys, if it were these days and he didn't have to screw with class. Yeah. He could have. He's Travis Hunter, for goodness sake. I mean, he's.
Well, I mean, you know, according to Steve Sarkisian, he would have had a degree in basket weaving. So, unfortunately, we weren't able to keep him around to get him a basket weaving degree. But I tell you, he was really, really special. One of the most talented people I've ever played with.
Absolutely,
like, it's not even a debate. Absolutely, one of the most talented dudes I've ever been around.
The same could be said about one CJ Johnson, formerly the number one player in the state of Mississippi, five-star, was supposed to be a Mississippi State Bulldog, and he became an Ole Miss Rebel. And for my money, on and off the field, one of the very best and one of the best representatives to this day for Ole Miss football. I think the world of you. I knew what you were going to be like. I knew you'd been coaching and stuff, but like, if anybody, when I said, "Hey, CJ, what are you doing right now?" and didn't go, "Oh, he's coaching," like, where have you been? I mean, that was like the most obvious career path ever. Yeah. I can't let you go without this, though, because even state fans bring it up to me this day because they love it. Tell the people about the Mississippi State stuff following you into the draft process for that meeting in Philadelphia.
Oh, gosh. I thought you were going somewhere else with it. I thought you were going to talk about the picture of me and Dak in the Egg Bowl, but thank God.
We could do that. At Dirty Eater says, "Hey, Coach, do you have the Bentley Falls?" I mean, we could go any other direction we need to, Steve. You know, we could go any number of ways. I'm going to let you get out with this one, though, because this is one of my favorite stories ever, dude.
Dude, I promise you, it is like, so it's probably one of the most embarrassing things that have ever happened to me in my life. First of all, now, mind you, what I'm going to tell you after this, I don't even know if I even brought this up to you, but this all happened in the same interview. Now, mind you, at the combine, you get 5 minutes to talk to players. Primarily, most teams, you're going to bring in a guy to have a 5-minute interview with them if you are serious about drafting the guy, right? Mm-hmm. Like that, like those visits are limited. Like, I think they only have like 35, 45, or 50, or whatever it is, whatever the number is. But anyway, you're going to bring in the guys you want to talk to that you're going to draft, all right? So I get my card, and I don't have many teams on there, but the Patriots is one of them. And then, like, way at the bottom, like, the Philadelphia Eagles is there. Like, I'm scratching my head. Like, I remember calling my agent. I'm like, why am I going to meet with the Eagles? I'm like, you know, they're a 3-4 base. Well, they're a 4-3 base team. They're inside linebacker, like, 260 pounds. Their defense ends up 270-80. I meet none of those measurements. So, like, I'm confused. So then I start doing my homework on, you know, the owner, the GM, the position coaches, et cetera. And then lo and behold, I find out Chris Wilson is the D-line coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay, ding dong, all right, rings a bell. So then I go in there, and they pick like five plays, the worst five plays I ever played in my career, and I'm having to explain those, yeah, in front of Chris Wilson and Howie Roseman. And after that's over, Howie asked me, you know, who did I think was better out of Laquan and Laramie, which obviously, you know, Laramie's better. I mean, I'll go against him every day. I mean, he's the best offensive lineman I ever faced. And after
still
that,
doing it he to goes, this day.
This is Howie, by the way. Yeah, he goes, are they going to do a 30 for 30 on Ole Miss and all the stuff that you guys did there? And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I guess. I don't know. Like, we won a bunch of games. I don't know. Maybe. And so then Chris Wilson instantly after that goes, how much did they pay you to go to Ole Miss? And I'm just like, dude, like, let it go. Like, this is like 5 years ago, dog. Like, you can't, like. So then, you know, I'm like, whatever. I didn't get paid anything, et cetera. And I remember walking out, and I called my agent. I'm like, Chris Wilson's probably one of the worst people I've ever met in my life. Just the fact that he would spend 5 minutes to degrade a kid. That, and by the way, the only reason he did that was because when Manny Diaz left to go to Texas to be the DC there, Chris Wilson was promoted as a defense coordinator, and I told Dan Mullen I wasn't playing for him.
That's it.
Yeah. So 17-year-old kid went, said he didn't like the man. They didn't want to play for him. And then 5 years later, he gets his revenge at the combine to embarrass me in front of, you know, NFL executives. Congratulations, man.
Good joke's job. On him, because one's a legend at his place and the other one's just dicking around at, like, who cares? Like, yeah. No, I don't even know who Chris Wilson is anymore, man. While CJ Johnson can come and talk to champions 10 years later. And still be called a legend, even though he wants to deny it. It's not true. He's an absolute stud, both on and off the field as a human being and certainly as a coach. Love you, my guy. He's CJ Johnson here on Talk of Champions. That QR code above his head, make sure to scan it. This is the last week to play the Rebel Rivalry with Kiwan and Trinidad for the greatest Ole Miss prize package I've ever seen in my life, and it's free to play. Seriously, now you can pay to get better chances in this, that, and the other, but absolutely all you got to do to play is just join in, scan it, and do it for free. We want to have you at the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com. If it's on three, $1 gets you 5 days, and then it switches to an annual sub. You get to try us out for $1. That's the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com. If it's on three, I'm there all day, every day. I'll write up some of the stuff CJ said today, because few, if any, can provide better insight. And I can't wait for you to come back on again. And next time you're in town in New Albany, I will make sure that I answer the phone, and we will go to Chicken George's, and I'll buy you a strawberry biscuit.
Love that.
Yeah. Love that. Because he gave shouts out to the hometown during this. Yeah, we got some studs over here, boy. We're becoming a pipeline, sir. I'm saying. Thank you, Siege. I'll see you soon.
All right, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Dude, you're the best, man.